The following is a presentation of Remnant. I am reaching from the depths of my soul. Hear me pleading. I'm a child, I'm a poor, I am needed. To the throne of your virtue, believing.
Hi, this is Jerry Godsey, co-pastor of Remnant. Remnant was begun with one goal, to touch people with God's incredible love. My prayer is that this study will comfort you, challenge you, and bring you one step closer to being the person God wants you to be. If this study is helpful or if you need more information, please drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
We're going to talk today about American Idol. Anybody remember the first American Idol? Who was the first American Idol? Kelly Clarkson, somebody said. Who's the second one? Ruben Studdard. Who's the third one? Fantasia? That was fourth. Was she the third or fourth? Who was the last American Idol? Who? No, not Clay Aiken. He was an American Idol. And then people got more than they bargained for with Clay. In the Bible, we got a couple of idols they mentioned. In fact, Jeremiah, let's look at a couple of the idols here. There's Baal. People prayed to this. Now, to me, it just looks like a guy with a funny hat. In fact, he looks like he's wearing a bowling pin, doesn't he? Would you really pray to some guy that wore a bowling pin on his head? This is Mammon. Now, Mammon, they talk about where Jesus says you can't serve God and Mammon. Mammon was all about money and power. Okay, and then the next one is Molech. Don't they make chicken with Molech in Mexico? Molech? Oh, it's mole. Oh, yeah. I get so confused so easily. And now, all right, now, anybody here have like a statue of Molech or Mammon or Baal at their house that you pray to? You put him in the corner and, oh, Lord, we love him. Oh, Lord, Baal with the, maybe Baal was the god of bowling. I don't know. But anyway, we do have idols today. In fact, we've got, just watch for the reaction when this one comes up. I don't get it. He looks like a girl. Maybe that's why the girls like him, because they want to look, I don't know. Anyway, there are a couple other idols we have. Gaga. I get confused there. It took me a while to find a picture of her that didn't include body parts. Okay, we got some more. Another one. Oh, Lakers. These are the idols of today, though. And we don't bow down and pray to them, I don't think. You know, oh, great God, Tom Brady, please. No, I don't think that happens. What we're talking about today is the fact that we're not supposed to have any idols. That nobody is supposed to gain our worship other than God. And Jeremiah touched on that last week, because the first question was, don't put any gods before me. So that was all about worshiping God. Today we're going to talk about worshiping the right God. Because it's easy for us to get caught up in worshiping, and it's easy for us to get caught up in doing things the wrong way. Let me give you a definition of the word idol. This is by Adrian Rogers. He said, an idol is anything you love more, fear more, value more, or serve more than you do Almighty God. Fill in the blank. One more time. An idol is anything you love more, fear more, value more, or serve more than you do Almighty God. Now let's talk about your idols. What do you love more than God? And before you say, oh, I don't love anything more than God, Jerry. No, nothing. I love God more than anything in the world. Really? How much time are you spending with him this week? Hello? And then balance that against how much time you spent watching TV or playing PS3 or Xbox. What do you fear more than God? Earthquakes. Spiders. Right? What do you serve more than you serve God? How much did you do this week to go? I worked 40 plus hours this week. I worked a lot more than 40 hours this week. I was on call. Okay? What do we balance that out with? See, it's easy for us to cast off on all these people because, oh, they did things the wrong way, but we have idols. So what God is telling us here, and we're going to go back to the scripture in a moment, what God is telling us here is don't make visual aids for your worship. God is invisible. Deal with it. But there's something in us that can't buy an invisible God. I mean, people will tell you, well, you know, if I can't touch it, it's not real. Really? You ever touch electricity? It's pretty real. It'll let you know. But you can't actually touch electricity. You get shocked by it. You can't figure it out so it doesn't count. Look, I've got an iPad here. It's my notes. I can't figure this out. I mean, I know how to use it. I can't tell you how it works. I can't go into the microprocessor, and I can't tell you how all the things that I type became words on the screen, and when I move it, it moves. I don't know how that all works. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We get this idea that somehow we are the arbiter of what is right. That somehow we're saying that if we can't figure it out, it's not real. Well, I can't figure this out, but it's real. People use them. There are people that can figure it out. There's just nobody can figure out God. So let's start from that assumption today. Let's start from that basic, that a priori assumption that there is a God and He wants us to be with Him. He wants us to understand Him. He wants us to know Him. Then who's the God we know? So the first thing we need, oh, there it is. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God. Look down at verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an image of any kind, in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third or fourth generation of those who hate me. Okay, we'll go on. I messed up my PowerPoint this morning, which is not unheard of. Let's go to the first point. Worship God as He is, not as you create Him. Now, that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? But let's look again at verse 4. Do not make any idols of any kind, whether in the shape of birds or animals or fish. You must never worship or bow down to them. Don't make any idols of any kind, whether it's little molded animals. I seriously thought about giving everybody here Play-Doh. And having you mold a god. And then we would just mess him up at the end of the thing tonight. But think about it. Don't make any idols. So don't make anything that you worship. Don't look at anything you make and then you worship it. I've never understood how some guy walking along said, oh, you know what? I need something to worship. And he grabs a stick and some gum and he makes a god and he says, this is God. No, it's a stick with gum on it, you moron. And you made it. How can you worship something you made? If I can make it, doesn't that mean that I'm greater than it? Doesn't it? If I made it, I'm the creator. I'm the big kahuna. I'm the big daddy. In fact, if I can make it, I can unmake it. I used to tell my kids that all the time. I made you. I'll take you out. I'll make another one look just like you. I used to tell my boys, I'm going to lay hands on you and forget to pray. I'll kill you until God you died. Right? I ain't scared. I was bigger than they were, especially when they were little. Now they're older, it's a whole other matter. They're still a little afraid of me, but not much. If I made it, how can I worship it? If I made it, if I put it together, if I decided what it was and all these other things, then it's not greater than I am. I'm greater than it is. And that's the thing that fears us about worshiping God is we know He's greater than we are. We know He made us. We know He's the creator of everything in the earth. He's the creator of the earth and all the solar systems and all the planets and all this other stuff. God's the creator of all of that. And we know that. And that kind of freaks us out a little bit. Because if He's so great, why does He care about me? And you know what? I don't know. I just know that He does. I know that because God is love, God wants us to love others. I know that because God is love, He cares about me. And He cares about you, and He does it individually, not as some big, well, there's a whole bunch of people, I'll take care of them all at once. God loves all of us. See, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18 says, "To whom will you compare me?" asked the Holy One. "Who is my equal?" Excuse me. "Who is my equal?" asked the Holy One. "To whom will you compare me?" Let me try this. What's the opposite of the devil? What's the opposite of the devil? If light is the opposite of darkness, and good is the opposite of evil, what's the opposite of the devil? It's not God. Because they're not equal. God was without creation. God was there from the whole time. Satan was a created being. So we go back to that whole thing again. Who is in charge? That's my grandson yelling to me from the back. Isaiah 45:20 says, "Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save." Ignorant. See, and we pray to gods that can't save all the time, whether it's the god of money, or whether it's the god of success, or the god of sex, or the god of this, or the god of that. See, we think that somehow, and you say, "Oh, I don't pray to those." Have you ever prayed to the god of sex? No. But if that's all you spend your time thinking about, if that's all you spend your time desiring, if that's the foremost thing in your mind, you might as well be praying to it because you're worshiping it. See, what I'm talking about today, I did it again. See, I got hacked up 2 weeks ago. What I'm talking about is worshiping the right way, the right thing. In fact, think about this. People tend to create gods like themselves. We create gods we can understand. We create things that we want to follow. Second thing you need to understand is you need to worship God as a jealous God, not as a permissive God. Look at Exodus chapter 20 again. "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not share your affection with any other God. I do not leave unpunished the sins of those who hate me, but I visit the sins of the parents upon the children to the third and fourth generations." Now, I've heard this to say that because my dad was a sinner, or because my dad did certain sins, that I'm going to do certain sins as well. And you know what? We're hearing an awful lot that the way you grow up is what happens to your kids. Now, look, that may be. What that doesn't take into account is the grace of Jesus. My dad had done some things that were not very good. He broke up our home, did all kinds of stuff like that. And by the grace of God, I haven't done that. There's been one person that in almost 30 years of marriage that I've been with, and she's in the back of the room back there. See, don't tell me that because my dad did something that I have to, but I will tell you that I was punished because of my dad's sin. My dad decided he wanted to go be with other women. He left when I was 8 and a half. And for the next how many years of my life, I suffered because of what my dad did. We lived in little cheap rat infested and cockroach infested apartments. We moved from city to city to city, so my mom could get a job or work or do these other things. I grew up without a dad. I went to father-son banquets with other kids' dads. When I first got married, when I first learned to be a father, I was a lousy father. I didn't really know the right way to do stuff. I was not a good husband. See, so my dad's sin did cost me. And make no mistake about it, guys, your sin cost you, but it also cost the people around you. Nobody lives in a little bubble where they don't affect anybody else. Most of you know, I run the crime scene unit for the sheriff's office. I'm on these scenes. I see where people have done stuff, and it's other people who suffer. I wish I could take you with me to a suicide scene where I'm walking, I've got all my gear, I've got my cameras and stuff, and I'm walking through, and I hear just sobbing as I walk up to the house. The guy who committed suicide isn't sobbing, he's dead. But he left a trail of pain and suffering behind him. You know, I it's kind of weird. The bodies don't bother me. That part of my job doesn't bother me. What echoes in my ears when I leave those scenes are the little kids crying. The wives and the moms just sobbing. That's the stuff I can't get out of my head. Not the bodies. Hey, God is a jealous God. God's not going to let you buy. God's not a permissive God. You know, I see these parents, but, you know, "Mom, I want this." We've been watching Toddlers and Tiaras.
oh my Lord. I watched that show and all I could think of is, there's a lot of kids here need to be beat. That's all that is. It's just a lot of kids here just need to be smacked into next week. This little girl, 3 years old, her mom, I said, get out of my room. And the mom did it. I was waiting for the shoe to fly. If I had told my mom, get out of my room at 3 years old, I would not be standing here today. Or if I did, I would limp. Because my mom was mean. You know my mom. 5'2", a weeble. Remember weebles? Weebles wobble, they don't fall down. That's my mom. Little, like a spark plug, little shape. Meaner than you. She hit my brother with a broom one time. He had it coming, but that was the only thing she had nearby, and he was bigger than her. She hit him with a broom. It was great. I stood off the side and just laughed. Ah, stupid. I punked off to her on the way out of her mobile home, and she kicked me down the stairs. I didn't think, you know, she's got little tiny legs. I didn't think she could get to me. I was by the door. She was in the kitchen. I didn't think she'd get there that fast. I think God gave her superhuman strength. Because by the time I got, I got the door open, I had one step out, and I was flying. We seem to think that somehow God is that kind of, some kind of permissive God. Oh, that's okay. Did you sin? Well, that's okay, buddy. It's all right. Come on. No. No, understand, when you sin, you break God's law. You break God's heart. Don't think that when you sin, God just says, that's okay, buddy. It's all right. No, God says, hey, stop it. My grandson, 2 years old. He threw a fit back there a little while ago as my wife tried to make him move. And I'm his grandpa. I love that kid. I let him buy with things that I never let my kids buy with. My son looks at me and says, what is wrong with you? I let him talk. I let him, you know, when movies are on, I let him talk at the house. And he can come up and I'll put my computer away and he sit on my lap and spend time with me. And Isaac says, you never did that for us. I said, yeah, well, I like him. But when he tried to throw a fit, Grandpa was the one who told him, hey, stop that. Because I know that what's best for him is not to act like that. Parents, if you let your kid tell you to shut up, you both need help. Say amen or ouch. But these parents that let kids rule, I told you before, when my wife was working in preschool, they brought a little kid, and she said, well, we don't want him to be told no. Well, he can go to another school then. I had parents who came to me when I was teaching school and said, Mr. Gonsi, we want him to be able to just walk around the classroom whenever he needs to, because he needs to express that. I said, no, he needs to sit down and do his work. There's a new sheriff in town, and I'm in. And guess what? He sat down at his desk and did his work. As soon as he understood that there were rules and regulations, he sat down and did what he was supposed to do. The sooner you understand that God has rules, and they're not there to squash you, they're not there to kill you, they're there to make your life better. The sooner you understand that, the sooner you get on with your life and you find out that life is better. I honestly believe these kids that are these brats that are, they just never told no and never understand. I honestly believe they're not happy. Because there's something in a kid that wants us to give them rules and boundaries to live by. God's the same way. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. See, there's two things here. First of all, God is holy. That means he'll forgive sin, but he won't tolerate it. Understand, God will forgive you when you sin, but he will not tolerate it in your life. Does that make sense? That's hard for us to understand. Just like if my sons were to do something wrong, I would forgive them for it, but I'm not going to let it happen. And the second thing is that God is just. That means he'll always reward us according to our work. God is going to be a good boss, if you will. God is going to be a good person to be around, because if you do something good, you get good stuff. The flip side of that is if you do bad stuff happens too. Not because God does it to you, because he lets things happen. He lets it happen to you. And we're so quick to blame God, aren't we? We do something we know is wrong. It's like when your parents told you not to play with fire and you went ahead and lit matches anyway, then you burned your hand and got mad at your parents. Stupid mom, let me play with fire. Didn't let you play with it. You did it anyway. Whose fault is it now? My kids understood they were allowed to play in the yard. I could keep them safe inside the fence. But you go play in the street and get hit by a car, whose fault is that? That's yours, chucklehead. You're the one who went out in the street. And God puts this yard and he says, look, here are my Ten Commandments. Here are the way that if you want to be a Christian, this is the way you got to live. You want to follow me, this is the way it ought to be. And as long as you're in that yard, as long as you're in God's little limitations, you're okay. The minute you step out and start branching out on your own, you pay the price for what you did. Don't blame God if your life goes down the toilet because you're the one who pulled the handle and flushed it. That's pretty plain, isn't it? We're so quick to blame God, and God's like, I tried to get you not to do it. And I wonder sometimes if God doesn't say, hey, all right, well, whatever. He calls the angels over and says, hey, check this out. This is going to hurt. Watch this. You ever do that? You see somebody and you think, oh, that's going to be bad. I like watching these kids ride their skateboards because eventually one of them is going to eat it. And it's comical for me. Cracks me up. It's the kind of guy I am. You wonder if God just looks in heaven and says, oh, man, that's going to be bad. Wait, check this out. Just understand that when you break God's law, other people suffer as well. Parents, you really love your kids? Get your act together. Hello? Kids, you really love your parents? Especially if your parents aren't Christians? Get your act together. And watch how your life affects them for good, not just bad. Number three. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Worship God as a loving God, not a hateful God. This is where we mess up sometimes. Look at chapter 20, verse 6. But I lavish my love on those who love me and obey my commands, even for 1,000 generations. See, in the part we just read, he said, hey, I'll punish the fathers and the children for 5 or 6 generations. But if you love me and follow my commands, I'll bless you for 1,000 generations. See, good is always better than evil. And when God loves us with good, he always rewards us better with good than he can mess us up with evil. Then he'll punish us. God's merciful. That means he'll forgive you and bless you even when you're not proud of your past. Anybody here got something in their past they're not proud of? I know I do. I had a powder blue leisure suit in high school. I'm not proud of that. Anybody here have a hairstyle they're not proud of? Like now? No. See, I can make fun of people's hair because I don't have any of my own. But think about it. We tend to think that God is this hateful God. We imagine God in this huge throne in heaven, and he's got a bucket full of lightning bolts next to him. And he's waiting for us to mess up. So he goes, God, cut you! You're dead now! Where did we get that? Where do we get this idea that God is the big blue meanie in heaven? See, the God I serve, the God of the Bible, is the God who sent his only son to die so that I wouldn't have to. Sent his only son so that I could go to heaven. That's the God I serve. He's also the God who says, hey, Jerry, I love you enough not to let you do this. I love you enough that when you step outside my boundaries, you're going to get spanked. I used to give my kids the right hand of fellowship. Whack. Did I enjoy doing it? Well, sometimes. No. Got to be honest, every now and then I feel like, this kid needs it. No. No, you know what? It hurts. My mom used to say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I don't think so, Mom. I'm pretty sure I'm getting the worst end of this bargain. She was whacking my behind with a Hot Wheel track. I'm pretty sure I got the worst end of that. Don't tell me it hurts you. Nah, you let's trade places then, Mom. Really, I love you enough. Let's trade places. I'll whack you with a Hot Wheel track, and you just stand there and cry. Because I want you to be happy, Mom. I tried that once. It didn't work. I thought my logic was flawless. If it hurts you more than it hurts me, let's trade places. But you know what? Now that I was a parent, now I'm a grandparent, it does. It hurts you to discipline your kids. You don't want to do that. I grounded my son one time and he missed out on something important for school. And it's tough. No parent wants to do that to their kid. But I also understood as a dad that if I don't curtail that behavior, if I don't show him that there are consequences to doing wrong, he's never going to learn it. Think about it. Is there a reason why nobody will pass a CHP? Yeah, go ahead. On your way home, if you see a chippy on the side, just pass him. In fact, accelerate past him and wave to him as you go. You will get a chance to meet him face to face, and he will have a little piece of paper for you. And you get to pay fines and all that stuff. Okay, but why did the CHP give you a ticket on the highway? Why do they have their cars painted so that you know exactly what they are? Because they want to slow you down before they give you a ticket. Their whole idea is to keep people safe. Their job is to keep people safe. God put all these things here, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. Understand, guys, God loves you. God wants you to be great. God wants you to just be so blessed. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. Now, see, really, and today, there are two groups of people here in the room today. The first group of people, there are some people who have asked God to forgive you, but you haven't been living like you're serving a God who calls the shots. Who's in control of your life? See, we're all good at giving lip service, aren't we? Oh, yes, I love God. I serve God. Yes. Really? Who's in charge? Who's calling the shots for your life? Before you make a move, before you decide to do something, are you praying and asking God's wisdom? Or are you just praying and telling God what you want to do and then hoping he agrees? There's a difference, isn't there? See, there's a difference between doing God's will and doing your will in God's name. I had a friend who said that God was calling him to a church. God's calling me the minister, Jerry. I'm going to go serve in this church. Then he got a six-figure job offer from a company. And all of a sudden, God's will was different. Really? Is God that fickle? Or are you just going about your merry way and saying that whatever you're doing is God's will? We're good at that. We're very good at that. Here's the thing, though. Today, you can make a commitment to get the idol out of your life. You can make a commitment here today to serve the God who is God, not the God you made, not the one you created, not the big permissive grandpa in the sky, but the one who says, here's a way to live. This is how you must live. And if you don't know what that means, I encourage you to go to our website and look up the Manifesto series on our podcast. If you can listen to the whole Manifesto series and not have your behind kicked all over the room by God's word, you're a better man than I am. The Manifesto series, we said, it's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, this is how you must live. Read the Sermon on the Mount and see if you can make it through it. Love your enemy. Really? I don't know about that one. Pray for those who are against you. Really? I mean, you can't just wipe them out, God? No, you need to pray for them. You need to love them. I really encourage you to check out that series. It will, if it doesn't blow your mind, it'll sprain your brain. So you're here today and you've made a commitment to Christ, but you're still living on your own. And you wonder why your Christian life is so shallow. You wonder why everything blows you out of the water. You wonder why every time there's a problem, you feel like you've left God. It's because you have. Because you never truly followed the God of the Bible. You followed a God that you made. You made yourself an idol and you followed it. Oh, and you had all kinds of spiritual terms about it, but the bottom line's the same. You made up a God and didn't really find out what the real God said. Second group of people here, there are some people who haven't ever made that choice. And you're still living in violation of God's law. You're still telling God, hey, God, I'm going to do what I want. Do it all the time. I told you I work for the sheriff's office. I got a whole jail full of people who've decided that whatever they want to do is what's important. That's why they're in jail. Because they don't understand that taking my stuff is not right. So they have to go to jail. They don't understand that when they break the laws, there's a consequence to it. And so they go to jail. Just this week, we had a stabbing in the jail. Of course, nobody knew anything. It was all a mystery how this guy ended up with stab wounds all over him. Gee, don't know. Well, somebody punctured him with something. See, you get enough people in there who decide that their way is the only way, and bad things happen. I don't want to live in a world like that. And God doesn't want you to live in a world like that either, but he's telling you, I love you, but I will not tolerate sin in your life. I will not let you live just hog wild and pig crazy any way you want to. Here's the way you must live. And it's for your good, not against you. Understand, guys, God loves you. That's why he has standards for you. Amen? So last week it was, let's worship God. Can't worship anybody else. This week, make sure you worship the right God. I am reaching
from the depths of my soul. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.